Be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. The world is a very distracting place. It is very easy to get distracted by the things that are going on in everyday life. For instance, let's just say you set out in the morning with the intention to have a good day. And I don't think that's an uncommon thing. I think a lot of us would like to start off and say, you know what? Today's going to be a good day. I'm going to keep a positive attitude. I'm going to be loving. Kathy knows all about this. Mother Diane calls her Pollyanna for a reason. But I'm going to keep this positive attitude. I'm going to live in love. And you pull out of your driveway and someone cuts you off and runs a stop sign. Okay, I'm going to shake that one off. It's okay, it's going to be a good day. I love the world, I love God's people. And someone almost sideswipe you, making an illegal left-hand turn. All right, now I'm going to keep doing this. I can keep positive. And then you get to work or the grocery store and someone swings into that parking spot that you were just about to get. This day is ruined. This day is ruined. Because at this point, right, there have been various little things along the way that make you angry or upset. And of course, now, this is now your mindset. Because now you're kind of bracing almost for the next blow, right? Same thing, I know when I try to get into, when I try to merge off of Nichols Road on Sunrise Highway, okay, and get over on that service road, I am taking my life into my own hands, and I'm cutting over across two lanes of traffic, and honestly, I just have one goal in mind, to get on the parkway, and obstacles and people be damned, okay? Because someone's going to come out of nowhere, someone's going to change lanes at the wrong time, someone's going to speed up because I want to actually get into traffic because I have somewhere to be, then that's just traffic. Now let's just say you're someone who's staying home today, right? I'm starting the day off right, now I'm going to be positive and loving, and I have this thought in my mind, I'm going to reach out to someone I know and love. I'll send them a message on Facebook just to say I love you and I miss you. And you bring up Facebook or whatever other social media thing that you use, and already people are screaming about how horrible the world is. It's like getting bad news. First dose in the morning, bad news. Things that people are saying, oh, that some idiot said something I don't want to hear on Twitter. Some group of people are doing something that I don't like. And already, before you even get to say word one to someone, you've been exposed to the bad news of the day. If you try to be a responsible citizen, say, I'm going to be productive and open the newspaper, it's the same thing, right? I look at anyone who can stay positive after reading the news, and I just wonder what world they're living in, because it's not the same one I'm in. So the world can be very, very distracting, and it can make us very, very angry and upset, and it can keep us in that state, because once you get started there, right, it kind of clouds your ability to see anything else. It encroaches from the outside, and your expectations turn from good to bad. And that is part of what Paul is getting at in his letter to the Ephesians here. And he says, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not make room for the devil. Right? Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let your anger dictate your actions. We very rarely make good decisions when we're angry, do we? We usually say or do something that we're going to regret in the long run. And even when we don't, we sit there and we stew in it, right? We store it up. And everything that happens is liable to irritate us, even if it's not particularly irritating. The littlest thing can set you off when you're sitting and stewing in anger. And that's also why Paul says, do not make room for the devil. How many people here have actually ever read C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters? Raise your hand. If you haven't, you should. This is one of the great classics of Western spirituality, and it's really fun and easy to read, actually. And it's written from the point of view of a demon that is trying to tempt mortals into being bad people. And one of the things that that demon realizes is that it's not about convincing people that the devil is right or that God is wrong. That's not the trick. The trick is to keep them distracted, upset, and angry. Oh, I'm having this thought. Maybe I should actually dwell on it. Maybe I should try to be more loving. And then the demon will insert something along the lines of, oh, that's a really good thought, but you're kind of hungry right now. Maybe you should think about this important thought on a full stomach. And then by the time you've eaten, the thought's gone, right? Or, you know, I'm going to try to keep a positive attitude. And the demon will direct you to, oh, what's the newspaper say over there? And that could really fit into the modern world, right? Like trying, as I just illustrated, trying to keep a positive attitude can actually be really hard. And so the demon's point is that it's not about convincing people of anything right or wrong. It's just about keeping them distracted, upset, and angry all the time, which is not very hard to do. We have, actually, a very limited attention span, and we're very easily distracted. For instance, if you look over here, you have looked where I pointed just because I said to. Okay? Simple illustration, rather crass, but it's true. And so in the Screwtape letters, the point is that the demon will just try to highlight the things that it wants you to look at. It's not going to tell you to do anything. It's just going to make you notice all the wrong things. Does that sound a little bit like the world we're living in sometimes? Where you have no choice but to notice all the wrong things? And then it's very hard to keep in a loving attitude. And it's really hard to keep in that loving attitude. I'm the first to admit it. I don't have patience to save my life. I'm going to be fair on that one. But when you start thinking about it, whether or not you believe in this idea of demons or devils, I do. But whether or not you do, is a good mental exercise. When you start recognizing that your stray thoughts are going to bad places, and you start viewing it as sort of temptations put into your mind by an outside force, then it becomes a fight, and we're much more willing to fight, aren't we? Right? We're much more willing to stand up to a challenge. And so it's a really good little mental exercise to notice that when bad things are intruding on your head, sometimes maybe it's not a bad thing coming from you. And even if it is, if you externalize it, it's a little bit easier to cope with. And that's part of what Paul is getting to in Ephesians. He wants us to recognize that we are living in a world that's kind of in the middle of a struggle, right? And we can use really big words like struggle between good and evil, God and the devil, a war for your soul. And that is what Paul believed. And he wants to arm people and prepare them to deal with that struggle. He wants them to be able to notice when things are not going according to plan. And he wants them to be able to notice when they are being affected despite their better judgment. And so the next words of advice is he's talking about building up a community. And he says, let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need. And isn't there just need in this world of building up? Isn't there need for someone to say the right thing at the right time and not the wrong thing at the wrong time? He prefaces, he starts this very reading off, he says that we are all members of one another. So he wants us to say kind and good things to each other to build each other up. Because one well-placed bad word can completely destroy someone's day. Anyone here ever worked in retail? Food service? Try dealing with the public. You know how many times I got told that my job could be done by a monkey?
Yes.
People would come at me for no good reason. They were just in a bad mood, and I was an easy target. And so when Paul is telling us to build each other up, he's aware that we're all facing this struggle. Again, this world's no different than it was 2,000 years ago. It was really easy to be distracted by bad, hateful, and angry things then, and it's very easy to be distracted by those things now. And anyone with an ill-placed word can knock someone right off their course for an entire day, week, month, or year. And so Paul is concerned about that. And he says, use these words to build people up. Be conscious of what you're saying to people. And the other, also, this isn't just about others. It's also about ourselves. When we're letting ourselves say these bad things, right, these cruel things, these hurtful things, or even just thoughtless, stupid things, we're not being mindful. We're not being attentive. We're not thinking about what is good and right in the world. We're not thinking about what is going to bring us closer to God and to each other. We're just kind of thinking about ourselves. Very often we'll say things to hurt people because it makes us feel better in the moment. And if you're looking at what Paul says here and you take it seriously, he says we are members of one another. When you are willfully hurting someone else with your words or deeds, then you are making that someone, that person someone other than you. You are distancing yourself from someone you are supposed to be a member of. And when you do that, you're distancing yourself from God. Because that's where God is found, in the community of God's people, in God's kingdom, which is all of God's people in the world, black or white or brown, gay or straight, male or female, Jew or Gentile, Christian, Muslim. We're all part of God's kingdom, whether we like it or not. We're all members of one another. We're all called to love one another. And so when we create that distance ourselves, then we are turning our back on God, not just on the people that we are trying to hurt. So this is why it's important to say things that build people up, to be aware of what we're saying, why we're saying it, and who we're saying it to. And that's why Paul goes on. He says, put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another. Be tenderhearted. Because it's not just about being nice to other people. When you put all these things away from you, then they don't have the chance to poison you. They don't have the chance to hurt you. They don't have the chance to draw you away from the knowledge and love of God. Because again, if there is a devil, that's what the devil wants. He wants you to be angry all the time. He wants you to be upset all the time. He wants you to be hurtful, say the first thing that comes to your mind. If I was a devil, I wouldn't spend all of my time trying to convince people that I was right. It's very easy to just distract people and keep them not thinking about the right things. And finally, he says, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Yes, we take forgiveness very seriously in the Christian church. Both because we've been given this wonderful gift of forgiveness from God, who, quite frankly, if you think about it, has no reason to do so, because all of the bad things that we see in the world, do you think God doesn't see them either? But then God focuses on what's in our hearts, and God focuses on God's mercy and God's forgiveness, and so we're expected to do the same. But it's also in such a way that when we forgive and we put things away and push them away from us, they can't hurt us anymore. They can't poison us or torture us or affect us. They are not a weight on our shoulders, and it's one less tool in the devil's arsenal to bring us down. That's why forgiveness is so important. It's not just about other people. It's about us and our very hearts and our very souls. So, in the words of Paul, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering, sacrifice to God. Amen. Be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The world that we live in can be very distracting. It can be very distracting, particularly when you want to have a good day. When you set out in the morning and you decide, you know what? I'm going to have a good day. I'm going to be positive. I'm going to be loving. I'm going to be tender-hearted. I'm not going to let the world knock me off of my course today. I'm going to have a good day. And then you get out of your driveway and someone runs a stop sign right in front of you. And on your drive, someone makes an illegal left turn and almost knocks you off the road. It's okay. I can still have a good day. I can still have a good day. And then you get to wherever you're going and try to get that parking spot, and someone just zooms right in there right ahead of you, cutting you off. Day ruined. I'm not having a good day anymore. Right? And as you're going through that process, as these things are happening to you, you can feel the tension increasing. And you can feel your reactions narrowing, right? Now everything starts to annoy you a little bit. every little thing, you notice all the bad things because that's where your vision has become focused. Well, let's just say you don't leave the house, right? Or whatever. You're going to have a good day. Let me go on the internet. I'm going to send a friend a message telling them that I love them. I haven't seen them in a while, and I think this is going to be a good way to start my day. And you get on Facebook or whatever social media you want, and before you can even get a message out, someone on Twitter is saying something stupid, or someone in the news that you don't like is doing something you don't want them to do. And maybe you get that message out, and maybe you tell yourself, no, I'm going to channel this in a positive direction. And then you go and you look at the news, and if you can continue wanting to channel things in a positive direction after reading a newspaper, you have far more patience than I do. The world we live in can be very distracting, and it can make it very easy for us to indulge in anger. And as our perceptions get clouded by the bad things we see, it narrows our vision and makes it very, very difficult to find the good. It's easier to find the cloud in any silver lining than vice versa. And that's part of what Paul is getting at in his letter to the Ephesians today, and I'll get to the rest of it. But he says, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Be angry, but do not sin. There is no way not to be angry. You can't tell yourself, I'm not going to be angry. It's an emotion. It's a reaction. You can control your reaction to it, and that's why he says, be angry, but do not sin. Because anytime we make a decision based on anger, it's not usually a good decision, is it? We do something we regret, we say something we can't take back, we hurt someone else, we hurt ourselves, and it perpetuates itself. Once you start off angry and start acting as a result of it, it continues. It continues to narrow your options, your vision. For instance, whenever I try to get on Sunrise Highway from Nichols Road, and get on that bloody service road, I am taking my life into my own hands. Because people are cutting across traffic, they're weaving in and out, and I'm just trying to get over and merge, okay? Which is a sensible and civilized thing to do, but no one knows how to do that. And so by the time I get there, I've already gotten in the zone whereby everyone on the road with me is an obstacle. They're an obstacle. They're in my way. Largely because they're doing something stupid, but also because I, right, have gotten to this place where they're no longer people. They're obstacles. And they've just ruined my day. And it's very easy to ruin a day, isn't it, right? We're very easily distracted. And that also gets to that point that Paul's making. Do not make room for the devil. How many people here have read the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis? All right, we got some. If you haven't, you really ought to. Aside from the fact that it's a fun and easy read, and it is, it really gets you thinking, okay? And the premise of the book is that it is letters from one demon to another about how to tempt mortals. And the thing about this demon is that he recognizes you're not going to win people over with sweet words and arguments. You're not going to convince them that bad is good and good is bad. Don't try to get them logically. Just keep them distracted. Just keep them distracted. If they start thinking maybe pious thoughts and wanting to do the right thing, then point out something bad that's going on. And that's really easy to do these days, isn't it? It's actually always been easy to do. Or when they start thinking, you know, I really need to evaluate my life. Something big is going on, and I feel like I need to change things. The moment that they start thinking these things, remind them that perhaps they're a little bit hungry. Maybe they should eat lunch and continue that thought process on a full stomach, because it's too serious to have right now. And before you can ever get back to that thought, something else has captured your attention, right? Because people are easily distracted. Look, I just pointed my hand and you looked where I pointed. Right? People are easily distracted. That was a crass illustration of it, but the truth of the matter is that if I were the devil, that is exactly what I would do. I don't have to do anything. I just have to keep distracting you and pointing you at things that make you feel bad. And that just keeps you in a terrible place. Now, whether or not you believe in the devil or demons, or you think that they're active in this world and trying to tempt you or sway your attention, and I am one of the people who does believe in those things, but let's just say you don't, it's still a useful thought experiment when you're going through your day. If you're trying to have a good day and suddenly bad things start happening and you find your attention wavering, you can start to maybe externalize those thoughts as attacks. And you start to realize how many of them come at you in a day, which, by the way, is quite a lot. And I find that we work better, right, as people almost when things try to take us straight on, right? Because if you take me straight on, then I can argue with you, I can deny you, I can stand my ground. But if you're just distracting me, right, it's hard to keep that focus. And so when you view these external things almost as attacks, you can actually act as if they're coming head on. And it makes it easier to kind of keep your vision focused on being good, being loving, being positive, right, and sharing the love of Christ with the world. But there's more to this, okay? So Paul, in writing this letter to the Ephesians, and this is the one that will actually end in the armor of God, okay, at the end of this letter, he is concerned about spiritual warfare, and so he's trying to arm his people. So that's part of why he's saying what he just said right there. But it gets better, right? He says, "Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear." And there is need, isn't there? There is need of building up in the world that we live in right now. There is need of good and kind words, particularly when something horribly said, something said to you can completely derail your day. Something angry or mean or thoughtless can completely knock you off your course, no matter how hard you're trying to stay positive. Right? Anyone here ever work in retail? How about food service? What is your view of humanity at the end of the day working in any of those jobs? I would never do that again. The amount of times I got told a monkey could do my job by people who didn't actually know what my job was, it was staggering. I hated people. Like, I literally hated people when I worked in retail and customer service and banking, okay, hated them because they're mean. People are really mean and they're really cruel. And so when you say things like that to someone, you completely knock them off for their day. That's it. You've ruined their day. You won. Congratulations. And that's why Paul is saying, only say things that are useful for building up. Don't let mean words come out of your mouth. And there's two reasons for that, aside from what I just pointed out, right? First, remember, at the very beginning of this letter, he says, we are members of one another. We are one body in Jesus Christ. We are all citizens of the kingdom of God. Black or white or brown, Jew or Gentile, Christian or Muslim, gay or straight, Republican or Democrat. Oh, wow. We are all members of the kingdom of God. We are all members of one another. So first, right, as I said, you can knock someone off their day. So that's one consideration. Maybe you shouldn't want to do that. But the other consideration is this. If we are members of one another and you are choosing to attack or hurt or degrade another member of the body of Christ, then you are actually separating yourself from that body. You are making yourself as something other and superior to someone else. They're not leaving the body of Christ because of what you just did. God has mercy, and God will try to actually repair the damage that you did. You are pulling yourself away and saying, I'm better than you. And if you're better than me, or you're better than someone else, then apparently you're better than Jesus, because Jesus identifies with everyone. Very, very easy to pull ourselves away from the love of God. And that's why Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. You were marked and sealed. And that doesn't just have to be cruel words to other people, by the way. That can be gossip, right? Because when we're talking stuff about other people, particularly when we're speculating about what's going on in their lives, right, usually there's an attitude of superiority. Usually there's an attitude, oh, did you see what so-and-so did? Oh, I couldn't believe it. You are thinking yourself better than someone else. And you are also, by the way, when you spread those rumors, they eventually get back to people. They always do. And when they hear them, that ruins their day. That ruins their day. And so you're separating yourself from the love of God and the love of your fellow Christians and your fellow people in God's kingdom. And you're also, in such a way, acting that way, hurting them and making it harder for them to keep in the love of Christ in this world. And so that's why, at the end of the day, Paul says, put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with malice, and be kind to one another, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. And this is why the Christian doctrine of forgiveness is so very, very important. Okay, because as I said, it's very easy to get distracted during the day. It's very, very easy to not stay positive, and it's very, very easy to be hurt by others. And you can hold on to that anger if you want to. You can hold on to it forever. But when you forgive someone else, right, and just let it go, you're letting go of the toxins that are in you. You're letting go of the anger that is keeping you separated from others. You're letting go of the anger that is forcing you to narrow your vision, right? Because if you're already angry and you're already upset, then you're only going to see things that make you more angry and more upset. But if you can let it go, they don't have any more power over you. You're free. That is the gift that we are given in forgiveness. Because when we forgive others, we're also freeing up ourselves. And so my prayer for us today is just the very last verse of this reading. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Be imitators of God. God, who loved us enough to become one of us, to die for us, and then forgive us for the act of killing him. That's letting go of anger. In Jesus' name, amen. Be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. The world we live in can be very distracting. Very distracting. If you set out in the beginning of the day and say, you know what, I'm going to have a good day today. I'm going to be positive. I'm going to be loving. I'm going to keep everything good. It's a good intention to start your day with, isn't it? Then you get out of your driveway, and someone runs a stop sign right in front of you when you have the right of way. It's okay? This is not going to ruin my day. And then you make the turn, and then somewhere else along the line, someone makes an illegal left turn and almost swipes you off the road. No, I'm going to have a good day. And then you try to get to wherever you're going, and someone swoops in and takes that parking spot right before you can get there. It's done. My day is over. It's never going to get any better. Or let's just say you decide, no, I'm staying in today. I wanna let a friend know. I'm gonna let the people in my life know that I love them. And so I'm gonna send maybe on social media or something or the internet and send a message to a friend to let them know that I love them. And as soon as you bring it up, some blowhard is saying something stupid on Twitter, or someone I don't like is, and a group of people I don't like are doing things that I don't want them to do. Well, no, that's okay. I can move past this. I'm going to channel this productively. And then I open the newspaper or the news on the internet, and my day is ruined. Anyone who can stay positive after reading the news, you're a better person than me. It is very easy to get distracted, upset, and angry by the world around us. It happens all the time. It's just hard. It's hard to stay good. It's hard to stay positive. And so that's why Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, says to us, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Be angry, but do not sin, right? When we make decisions based on anger, they're not usually good ones, are they? They're usually ones that we regret. We say something that we can't take back. We hurt someone's feeling. And honestly, when we make those decisions made in anger, they perpetuate themselves. Because once you start off angry, it is easy to stay angry all day, all week, all month. This can go on for quite a while. And I am speaking from personal experience. Okay? So that's what he says, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun down go down in your anger. Because if it keeps you in that state, you can't really see what's good in the world, right? It narrows our vision. It narrows our ability to see anything good in the world. We can find a cloud for every silver lining. And he says, do not make room for the devil, okay? This is a beautiful statement here, because this is the devil's game. The devil's not going to win you over by saying bad is good and good is bad, coming straight at you like that. The devil's going to distract you, keep you upset, angry, off balance. How many people here have ever read the Screwtape Letters? If you haven't, read the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. It's an easy read. It's a lot of fun. And honestly, it'll make you think. Because the basic premise is that it's a demon writing letters to another demon about how to tempt and upset mortals. And so the demon says, don't take them on head on. They'll be ready for you. Just distract them. If they say, you know, I really want to change my life. I'm having like an experience at this moment, and maybe I need to do things differently. Remind them that they're hungry at that moment in time. And shouldn't that thought come later on, when you've got a full belly? And those of us who have had those thoughts and decided to wait on them know that they don't come back all that quickly. And once we move away from them, it's easy to stay distracted. Or if they're going to stay positive and good and try to be loving, draw their attention to the news, what's going on in the world, how someone is upsetting them or irritating them. Just keep getting them looking at the wrong thing. And as people, we are really easily distracted. Look, I pointed and you looked, just because I said to. Very crass, but people are very easily distracted, right? So if I'm the devil, that's the game I'm going to play. I'm just going to keep pointing out things that will upset you, right? Now, whether or not you believe in the devil or demons, and I do, but that's okay, whether or not you believe in any of that, it is actually a very useful thought experiment to notice how many thoughts come into your head during the day. And sometimes you wonder, did I even think that? Was that me? Particularly some of those angry and horrible thoughts. And so when you start to actually view them as something other than yourself, right, it's easier to take them head on. It's harder to let them distract you because you're viewing them as coming from an outside source. And we, as human beings, are down for nothing if not a fight. Right? If we have a challenge coming right at us, we're ready for it. And so when we treat these thoughts, these thoughts that come into our mind as something external to ourselves, then it becomes a challenge, and then we can take it on. So, why am I getting to this? This is part of what Paul is going at in Ephesians. Ephesians is the letter that ends with the armor of God, and a lot of it has to do with what we call spiritual warfare. So that's why he's saying, don't stay angry. That's why he's saying don't let these things happen, because if you're in that narrow frame of mind, it's very hard to see the good and the love in the world that God has given to us. And then there's more. There's implications for everything else. He says, let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And is there not need? Is there not need for words that build people up these days rather than tearing them down? There is a great need. And so Paul, first off, we have to recognize, right, at the very beginning of this reading we have here today, he says, we are members of one another, okay? We are all members of the body of Christ. We are brothers and sisters. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. And those other citizens of the kingdom of God are going through the same stuff that we are going through. And so a misplaced word, an angry word, an insult, a thoughtless word can really ruin someone else's day. And that process we just went through, they're going through it too. So that's number one, okay? When we're trying to build each other up, we're actually working together to fight off that negativity, anger, and evil in the world. And when we're not doing that, then we're tearing each other down and we're participating in it. The second thing, though, to keep in mind is that this isn't just for their benefit. Okay? It's not just for their benefit. It's for our benefit. Because when you say something cruel and hurtful and angry to someone else, or when you gossip about them and talk about them behind their back, even when you speculate on the little things that are going on in other people's lives, you are making them less than you. Now remember, Paul said, we are members of one another because we are members of Christ. And that's everyone, okay? Everyone in this world, as far as we are concerned, is a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, a brother and sister created in the image and likeness of God. That is male or female. That is black, white, or brown. That is Jew or Christian. That is Christian or Arab. That is, that's straight or gay. That's Democrat or Republican. Okay? Every last one of those people are your brothers and sisters in Christ, as far as you are concerned, because you don't know what heaven's going to look like. But I can tell you this much, it's not going to be what you expect. So, we are all members of one another. So when we start saying terrible things to people or about people or thinking even bad things about people, we start actually separating ourselves from the body of Christ, because Christ is with all of us. So if I think I'm better than you, then I think I'm better than Jesus, and that's a really bad place to be, spiritually speaking. So, and the other thing to consider, just going back to the previous point I made, those thoughtful and careless words, if we start recognizing that we're all in this together, then we actually recognize the damage that it can do to us. How many people here have ever worked in retail or food service? Don't you just hate people? When I worked in retail, I worked at a major bookseller, and let me tell you, I didn't like people. The amount of times I got told that a monkey could do my job by someone who did not know what my job was staggering. And they come at you every day, right? The things that get said to you is just mind-boggling. And so that put me off my game, and it kept me in a very, very bad place, very, very angry at lots of people for a very, very long time. Okay? So if we're in this together and we're saying things to people that really knock them off their game, then we're contributing to the general misery of the world. And we wouldn't want that done to us. Because we know how easy it is to get distracted. We know how easy it is to stay angry. We know how easy it is to let something stupid and careless ruin our day. So we really ought not to do that to others. And that's why Paul says, put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. Be kind to one another and tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. When we put away all these things, this toxicity of anger and evil, of bad words and bad thoughts about other people, it stops poisoning us. It stops sitting in our system. That is really the beauty of the Christian doctrine of forgiveness. It's not just about letting others get away with something. It's about taking that anger and putting it somewhere else that has nothing to do with us anymore. It doesn't poison us. It doesn't hurt us. It doesn't ruin our day. And it takes away the control, the bad things that other people have done over us. Because that, right, when someone upsets you and knocks you off your balance, they're controlling you at that point. They've ruined your day. They won. When you can forgive, you can let go, and they don't have any more power over you. And that's the beauty of the Christian doctrine of forgiveness. And it's honestly, it's what's expected of us, right? As God in Christ has forgiven you. You want to talk about forgiveness, when you have a God who loves people enough to become one of them and walk among them and teach them and then gets killed by those people. And then that God says, I forgive you. We can do nothing less as Christians. And that's why my prayer today is just the last words of Paul here. Therefore, brothers and sisters, let us be imitators of God as God's beloved children and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.